Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You might remember on Thursday we were talking about calls to scrap the VAT on sun cream products, and we heard from listeners to the programme who got in touch to share their own experiences about finding moles, even receiving a skincare diagnosis, the treatment, and backing calls for VAT on products to be removed, because some listeners told us that like the cost of some sun creams can often be a deterrent to people to buying them. And even actually putting enough sun cream on their body as well. I shared my own experience with you last week. I had a mole that had to be removed after the doctor discovered it, or the consultant dermatologist discovered it while I was out recording a report for this programme. To basically try and help, you know, inform all of us about what to look out for when you're examining your own skin. Fortunately, it wasn't anything cancerous, thank God. But, it was a story I shared with you in an effort to try and help raise awareness about all of this. 1800 453 106 is the number. Catherine is with me on the line today because, Catherine, I believe your mole check led to a different diagnosis. Is that right?
It did. Hi, Andrea. How are you doing?
Not bad.
So in 2019, I was worried about moles and I was referred on to our plastics consultant here in the west of Ireland. And a couple of years later on a Sunday, because she was so backlogged, she brought a lot of people in because we were waiting so long to be seen. And that was in 2023. And during the mole check, she said, oh, you've quite a lot of moles. I'm going to do a full mole mapping on you. So changed into a gown, what have you. And then she said to me, oh, my good God, how are your mammograms? And I said, sorry, I said, I'm only 44. Sure, I said, I'm too young for a mammogram. And she said, no. She said, you have an extremely rare breast disorder called bilateral hypoplastic breasts. And she said, you should have been having mammograms after the age of 18, 20.
This is the first you heard of it,
Catherine? Because it was a high risk. Never heard of it. And I've had four children, and funny enough, would say not all of them wanted to be breastfed, but one of them in particular, I used to joke that one breast was like dinner and the other one was like her dummy, because she never seemed to get satisfied off one of them. And it turns out that's because, just unknown in my case, reason, during puberty, one of my breasts failed to develop properly. And so milk ducts never formed in one of my breasts. So my child was actually having a dummy, effectively, during feeding than I thought she was. And on top of which, it's linked to heart problems. So she sent me off as well for an echo. And I have a leak in mitral valve. So, but it's not overly concerning. Yeah. But what it has opened up is the fact that my daughters also have it, and that two of them have it anyway, and the third one doesn't. But that they will be checked early on for screen for breast cancer and for heart problems.
And all of this came off you basically getting
three moles.
A mole mapping carried yeah. out. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, because when I was younger, before I knew what moles were and before we all knew about skincare, yeah. because, you know, I'm nearly 50, it wasn't a big thing when we were growing up, kind of later on in our teens, yes. I used to love scratching them and making them bleed because I didn't understand, you know, what they were. It was like a habit. But no, luckily, they're fine. So the only treatment for it is obviously keep an eye on mammograms and echoes and then reconstruction. So they'll do a fat transfer to make them look normal.
And would you have known over the years, Catherine, you know, from even looking or examining your own breasts, that there was a disparity? Like was it obvious to look at it? Or?
Oh, very obvious.
It was,
yeah.
Right.
But I mean, you know, like let's say I would have breastfed, so I'd have had lactation nurses. I had a child that attended Crumlin Hospital, and we lived there for a few months after she was born, and I expressed milk and there was lactation specialists there that would have talked to you, and nobody ever said, Christ, one in particular, it's quite tubular, and it doesn't look right. Both of them never really look right, but it's like you just kind of get used to what you were born with. Don't really, you know, we're not really, as women, even you know, our gynecological issues, we're not really encouraged to go see a gynae just for, you know, regular things. You know, it's only for smear test job and done, or unless it's serious and needs treatment. And so you know, you look at them, I've always worn padded bras, much more on my right side than my left, because it's very, very small. And, you know, nobody said anything, so I didn't think there was anything wrong with them.
Yeah.
But thanks to Dr. Deirdre Jones in the west of Ireland, she is brilliant. She deals with a lot of reconstruction and, you know, things like that, from cancer and various things.
Yeah.
And is a very big sun advocate of sunscreen. And, yeah, like, only for her. I would never have known.
And yeah, yeah, and it's obvious, you know, I'm sure you're glad that was highlighted, and do you know, has that resulted in have you had to have surgery or manage that, Catherine, or how down the line now, how have you dealt with that?
So down the line, I'm on a waiting list for, so they will do fat transfer.
Right.
So they'll take existing fat transfer. Don't worry, there's plenty of it on offer. they'll pick the best spot. They'll try to hold on to the best fat without breaking it up when they remove it, and then they'll transfer it into my breast to make them look natural.
So that just shows you the benefit, doesn't it, of getting the mole map?
Well, I'll tell you, and especially somebody who knows their stuff, you know, as I joke, I went in for 3 moles and came out with a boob job.
Yeah, you've seen the lighter side of it anyway, but I know, you're right though, you're right to flag it, and fair play to you, Catherine, for getting in touch and sharing that with us. We appreciate it. Andy, I think Catherine is on the line as well. Andy, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm not bad, Andy. So I believe your wife spotted a mole, is that right?
Well, it wasn't so much she spotted a mole. I went off to Spain in my early 20s, spent a year, came back mahogany. You do, there's the mad thing is you used to mix like cocoa cream with oil, like cooking oil, and you'd smear it on. And you'd be lying there and you would literally feel yourself frying in the sun.
It was a different time.
I came back. Oh, yeah, a different time, a younger years, silly years. But I came back, Grant, I was mahogany, and went, all the tan went. I had a mole in my abdomen that was about the size of a penny. And I didn't bother about it for years. Now, we'll go back from the mid-80s, go forward to 1998. My daughter was 2. She was getting her last of her MMRs. The mole was niggling me. My wife was going, no, that doesn't look right. Show the doctor. I went, oh, right, okay. In we go. There we go. MMR done. And I went, there's a mole there. My wife's niggling me. He picked up the phone and went, surgery, please.
Straight away.
Yep.
Knew by
looking
at it.
Just took one look at it and went, boom. And it was in 3 weeks later, and that was fine. It was I was 6 weeks out of work. And we moved from Dublin to Carlow, got a new doctor, and our old doctor went, come here, excuse me, I'm looking for you. Suspicious cells still. Then that's where I got, not blasé, that's where I got the fright. Sit down here. So another big chunk out. And basically I go in every few years and they take out a mole here, a mole there. Thank to my wife. Very thanks to my wife that I'm still here.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, check your moles.
Absolutely.
Get them looked at. All you're doing is you're going into your doctor and the doctor's looking at it. And if you have a good doctor, it's only someone that's going to have a look. I went down to Wexford a year and a half ago. I get every 4 or 5 years there's something removed. But I went down to, they sent me to Wexford with a mole in the back of my hand. And out came the consultant. And it's like, you know, your antiques guys that have the little magnifying glass. And they're having a look at hallmarks and what have you. He came out and he was, I'm standing in my boxers. literally standing, yeah, and he's going and looking over my skin. It's not intrusive. It is a bit, but it's like I'm standing there.
It's very
bare.
And there
he comes with his little magnifying glass, and he looked again at my abdomen, a tiny, tiny, tiny little black mole. And he went, "That one on your hand, I'm not bothered about. We'll have you in for that one there."
And did they turn out to be cancerous, Andy, or did you ever have to?
No, thankfully
Thank
not.
God,
now,
yeah.
One from my knee. Oh, I got a big mole taken off my knee. And the consultant was like, "Hang on, there's a single hair in that." And it was a big mole. It was bigger than one in my abdomen. And she looked and went, "There's a single hair in there." Now, if that was, it shouldn't have growth in there. So I'm not going to do the full. I would have been out for about 3 months. It would have been right down past my knee if they did the full operation. And she was like, "No, I'm going to hang back. I'm going to do so much," which they did remove. "And it's the one thing that you want is a letter saying it's benign."
It's benign. And when you heard the calls last Thursday, Andy, you know, for the VAT on sun cream products here and to be scrapped, I assume from everything you've gone through, that's something that you'd support.
Oh, I've got my kids covered in sunscreen. And I'm like, "You've got the DNA, it's in there. And my son's a ginger."
So he needs sunscreen.
And so is my granddaughter. I'm here now, and thanks to my wife as well, and I'm here now, and I've got a grandchild that's a ginger, and it's get the cream on.
Yeah, well, it should be, regardless, it's, you know, isn't the message for everybody to make sure that they're, I suppose, plastered in sun cream from head to toe, as we learned from listening to experiences last week. Another listener tells me the simple message, a freckle that changes in shape, colour, can always be a risk. It could be cancerous. This listener tells me that they had melanoma themselves. They were very fortunate, though. They had it removed back in 2024. Let me bring in Dr. David Buckley, Andy, for a moment. David Buckley is from the Kerry Skin Clinic. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea.
So, David, you've heard experiences from Andy and Catherine, and we heard from many others, actually, who got in touch with us on the programme last Thursday as well to detail their own mole mapping and mole removal experience. But if there's one thing I've learned since I shared my own experience on the show last week, it's remarkable the number of people who've had something removed.
Yeah, of course. Well, Irish people are covered in moles, generally speaking, and a mole that changes, particularly in an adult, is always a bit of a concern. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's skin cancer, but if a mole changes in size or shape or colour, and that's going on for more than 6 or 12 weeks, and it looks different than any other mole or behaves differently, that's what we call the ugly duckling sign. Well, that's important, particularly in an adult, right? Children hardly ever get melanoma, so it's really not a risk factor for children, and children are getting new moles, and of course they're growing and stretching. So you expect moles to change in a child, but not in a fully grown adult, like over the age of 16 or 18, you know. So, if you get a brand new mole over the age of 40, that's very suspicious, because you don't normally develop new moles over the age of 40. And if you do get a new mole at that age, then it's highly suspicious, probably needs to be checked by a doctor who specializes in skin diseases. And I think it was Andrew who mentioned there about the microscope or the little handheld. So that's called a dermatoscope. So that's not just a microscope. It's more than that. You can actually see three-dimensional structures within the skin. You can see down to deeper layers than you would with a magnifying lens. So it's almost like using a microscope on the skin. So that's helped us a lot. So now we can actually tell confidently what is completely harmless. And we can also tell very confidently what is highly suspicious or needs biopsies or removal. And so the group in the middle that kind of were previously difficult to diagnose, now it's becoming a lot easier with these handheld dermatoscopes.
Yeah, so you can actually, as you say, definitively tell in some of the cases, David, from looking through that piece of equipment, whether or not this is something that's going to have to be surgically removed.
Yeah, well, you can very confidently diagnose something that's harmless, right?
Yeah.
And then you can quite confidently diagnose something that's completely high risk. You know, the minute you look at it, you know, sometimes you don't even need the microscope or the dermatoscope. But there is a group in the middle then that we're not sure. So those, that kind of group has got smaller because of the microscope or the dermatoscope. But sometimes we'll photograph the mole and check it again after 3 or 4 months, particularly if it's a flat mole. And then sometimes if we're just not happy or if it's a high-risk patient, for instance, like Andy has already had skin cancers, well, we'll just remove it just in case. Because the handheld microscope, the dermatoscope, it's definitely helpful, but it's not as good as taking out the mole completely and sending it to the lab. That's the gold standard.
One of the things as well I've been quite struck by, the number of people who've got in touch said they felt they had something that they wanted to get, you know, to have it examined, David, by a medical professional. And then often the wait times they've experienced to even try to access a consultant dermatologist.
Well, that is an issue and a problem, both nationally and internationally. But on the other hand, most GPs are skilled at, you know, at least educated about what to look for in a mole. And even with a handheld magnifying lens can make a reasonably confident assessment of whether this is urgent. And if it's urgent, the patient will be seen usually within 2 to 4, 6 weeks, perhaps. Or if it's less urgent, then, of course, the patient might wait a few months, perhaps, right? But it's always probably best to go to the GP first. And some GPs actually have these handheld microscopes called dermatoscopes. And like in a practice, a group practice of maybe 5 or 6 doctors, there may be one doctor there that's trained up and skilled and has the equipment to at least make a good assessment. So I think, you know, rather than just trying to get on a waiting list, you go to your GP first. And even if the GP can't confidently diagnose whether it's actually harmless or cancerous, the GP can prioritise or triage it and arrange an urgent appointment if that GP feels that it's something dangerous.
A listener here has got in touch, David, to tell us that last year they went to get a mole that was changing in shape and size to get it examined, and actually that particular mole was fine, but the one above it, which I hadn't even noticed, I ended up having to have surgery on it and to get it removed. It was a scary 2 weeks waiting on results. Everything was okay, thankfully, but my advice is to get moles checked, and it is worth paying for, says this listener.
Yeah, well, not every person has to go and have a mole check. I mean, there are high risk groups, and you can check your own mole. I mean, if you have a hand mirror and a wall mirror in the bathroom, you can strip off after a shower and you can check yourself head to toe, because you don't need a CT scan or an MRI or anything complicated. You just look. And if you, in America now, they, you know, recommend that adults check their skin once a month and just have a very quick look. But you have to look on the areas that you don't normally see, like your back, for instance. You need a handheld mirror, and you probably do it yourself, because with the best will in the world, partners and parents and friends will do it once or twice, but they get set up, so you do it yourself, right? And particularly high risk groups, like people with very fair skin, or people who work outdoors, or people, God forbid, if they've already had a skin cancer, or if they've used sunbeds in the past, you know, and maybe anybody over the age of 70 should be doing a full head to toe skin check once a month. And if they find something that's new or looks different or is changing or is perhaps sore or tender or tiny specks of blood, well, they should track that for a month or two or three. If it's consistently changing, if it looks different than anything else, then they go to their GP. The GP will decide then if it's urgent and does it need to be removed or referred.
Stay with us, David, for a moment. Sarah Jane is on the line. What's your experience, Sarah Jane?
Oh, gosh. Right. So last year, I realized I had, I would call them sort of sunspots on my arm. So I rang my healthcare provider, and I asked them, did they cover mole mapping? And they told me no. And I was so confused. I said, I'm very confused. I said, I pay for full cover. So I pay for two people, 9,000 a year. And I said, you do all the cover for oncology and cancer treatments and everything, but you don't provide cover for the detection part. So early detection and prevention. And they said, you know, very apologetic, no, sorry, that's not part of anything that we cover. So I went ahead and paid privately.
Okay.
And I actually travelled to a clinic in Cork so I could get an earlier appointment. And like the doctor just said, it's a fantastic experience. A female nurse comes in and she's very polite and gentle. And she said, just strip down to whatever you're comfortable, your underwear.
Yeah.
And she looks from head to toe. She gets you up on the bed and she goes, which ones are you concerned about? And the ones that I was concerned about, like exactly you said about the other person, I was concerned about the obvious ones, but it was little things that I didn't even notice that she said, well, I want to look at this one more closely. So there were a handful that she used the dermatoscope on and she checked. Now, it's very interesting that the doctor said, not everyone. I totally disagree with him for the simple reason she checked the soles of my feet. She checked in between my toes. She checked my groin area, my back, my scalp, behind my ears. Now, with the best will in the world, no one's going to be able to spot that themselves. And furthermore, the things that I was looking out for, that you're told in on leaflets with doctors, you know, if it appear, I was completely wrong, because there were certain things she noticed that the untrained eye wouldn't notice. And that's what I don't understand, the lunacy in my personal opinion, that we are relying on the untrained eye as a method of early detection rather than mole mapping.
Which could be
300. Yeah, I mean, I could pay the 300. I'm fortunate. I could pay the 300.
But there's other
people that aren't.
Well, just like this listener as well, he says, nowhere in the Sligo Leitrim area is there, I don't know of anywhere where you can get mole mapping, says this texter. We've had to drive 3 hours to Galway or Dublin to get it done. Just maybe finally, David, do you want to respond maybe just to Sarah Jane?
Yeah. Well, there's a slight bit of a confusion between mole mapping and a mole check, right? So a mole check, you can go to your doctor, your GP or a skin specialist. They'll, as the lady said, strip you down to your underwear and examine everything. Even sometimes if the patient has something in their privates, they would be chaperoned and examined on the buttocks, genitalia, breasts and so forth. And that's a mole check, right? Mole mapping is where you photograph somebody head to toe. It takes like maybe 100 images. They're stored and then the patient comes back after an interval, maybe 6 or 12 months, and checked again. Mm. That's very expensive, high tech, and takes a long time. And there's a resource issue. We can't do a mole mapping on everybody. It's just not practical. But, you know, we will do it on high-risk patients. Mm. So, for instance, somebody who's already had a melanoma and have lots of funny moles, they will have full mole mapping every 6 or 12 months, right? But it's just not practical to do this on everybody. So people are kind of worried, well, like this lady listener who's obviously had a good experience and it's fantastic, but you know, you can go to your doctor and have a full mole check head to toe, and then the doctor can educate that person about what to look for,
and for
the rest of their life, that patient, that person then can check their own moles. Obviously there's a bit of education involved, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, so we only see people who have already had skin cancer on an annual basis and do a full mole check on a yearly basis, but for the average person who has a few moles, if they're not changing, well, you really shouldn't worry.
Well, I suppose the advice for anyone listening to us today or last Thursday, if there's something, you know, that you're concerned about or something that has changed in any way, shape, colour or size or even the formation of it, you should go and get it checked out by a professional. For the moment, we'll leave it there. Dr. David Buckley, Andy, Catherine, Sarah Jane, thank you for sharing your stories. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.